Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Real Sankara Hours. Today is Saturday, February 25th, 2023. Your favorite Pan-African Marxist political podcast where we talk about current events, politics, race from a black left perspective. An actual black left perspective. Because I think maybe that could be a topic for another time, but I think there's some confusion about what black left actually is.
Well, anyway, if there's anything, I think there's a lot of confusion about what the left is these days, much less. The black left. But yes, this is Peter M. Gunn.
And this is Adam Hudson. We're your hosts for Real Sankara Hours. And yeah, we're going to be talking about...
maybe we should remind them to subscribe to our Patreon.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so subscribe to our Patreon if you want to support independent black media. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/realsankarahours. $5 a month gets you bonus episodes. And also we have a Discord. So in the show notes we have a Discord server, so you can join our Discord server. And, you know, build community there, give episode ideas for us, topics for us to discuss. So we definitely like to see our Discord grow. I think there's like one person I saw there. We're rolling out a YouTube channel as well. So we're going to be doing, look out for future live streams. So. Yeah, we have stuff in the works. So we have, like I said, Discord server. We're gonna grow a YouTube channel. So to support our work, just $5 a month gets you bonus episodes, and that's where we do deep dives into political theory, particularly black radical political theory. So from Walter Rodney to Marcus Garvey. And other times, you know, we'll probably like shoot the shit on our bonus episodes. So, like, I think our last one we talked about
football and Fight Club for some reason. It was a great conversation. Let's get into it. Because there's obviously some stuff we have to touch on, but I think the main like. Mostly what we want to talk about is AP African American Studies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about that. I guess to give some context for I have a feeling that, you know, those of you who are our listeners are probably aware of this, but for those who haven't been paying attention or have been paying attention like kind of somewhat, basically, so the College Board is a private company.
They're the ones who run like the advanced placement program, which our listeners are extremely smart, so I'm sure most of you are aware of that. They're also the company that runs the SATs, so they're like a big, like, you know, they're a very big corporation. They're in the educational industry.
And that role has to be understood, because especially when we're talking about getting students into like top-notch universities and very selective universities, College Board is a gatekeeper. Basically, they run the advanced placement classes and programs and the AP tests and SAT tests. So they play a huge role in determining the future of America's youth, really. And also, even this is something I'll mention further as we discuss this, but they also play a role in the current inequities in the education system, particularly when it comes to achievement and which students of which demographics get into which schools. So anyway, so the College Board, they created an AP African American Studies course. And they came out with their curriculum. And so they're in the phase where they're rolling it out. It's not. So what's important to understand is that this class is not mandatory. And it's also not universal in that you have to be an AP student to take the class. And I think that's important to appreciate because I work at a high school and it's mostly Latino and Black kids, working class Black and brown kids. And, you know, like a lot of lower income, like Black and brown schools in lower income working class communities, academic underperformance is an issue. And it's not a result of the cultural deficiencies of the students, which is what people on the right would argue. It's other factors that have to do with the current, you know, social and economic structure of America itself. That's the reason why that exists. But anyway, I say that because there are a lot of Black and brown students who I would argue would benefit greatly from taking a class on African-American studies, but because this is an AP course, they would not be able to take it. So I'll mention that right out the gate, because I think that's that in the coverage of it, that's often got overlooked. But anyway, it's not mandatory. It's also not universal, but they rolled this curriculum out. And then a couple of weeks ago, Florida, the great state of Florida run by, Governor Meatball Ron DeSantis or Ron DeSanctimonious
fucking dipshit Catholic fascist.
Yeah.
He says no black kids are going to learn about their history. Or I guess, I mean, ironically, right. It is sort of a hilarious thing where it's like, yeah, AP classes definitely skew whiter though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, sure, there are also a large, like, the high school I went to was, like, a college prep high school, and it was majority Black, and there were, like, a lot of AP classes, but, yeah, like, the AP classes tend to skew wider, so you'll have, like, these suburban high schools with, like, that are all white, and they're all taking AP African American Studies or whatever. Yeah. But even that's a bridge too far. No, we will not have people learning the truth about being Black in America in Florida. Absolutely not. That is wokeness. It's critical race theory. If any of those people know what that means, and he's gonna pick a fight with the fucking College Board. Great stuff.
And so this was Ron DeSantis and the state government of Florida. Their official reasoning for why they banned it was because, well, this is coming on the heels of a series of bills that the state of Florida has already implemented. They have like a Don't Say Gay law. They have a Stop Woke Act. And that's literally the term of the law. Look it up. Google Stop Woke Act Florida. And that's the title of the bill. And basically is to stop woke indoctrination in private companies and other institutions in Florida. And basically this is all part of a national right-wing culture war and basically a backlash to the 2020 George Floyd protests. So Ron DeSantis has taken it upon himself to be like the tip of the spear in terms of waging this right-wing culture war. So Florida is becoming like this test case, this sort of kind of petri dish for the right to further their right-wing culture war agenda. So this is where this ban is coming from. Because again, there's already laws in place in Florida that there's a Don't Say Gay bill and a Stop Woke Act. So now that they're banning this course, they're saying, well, it violates Florida state law. That's because Florida state law under DeSantis is now saying like, okay, don't talk about queer issues, don't talk about race and wokeness. And so so what they said about this curriculum, and I actually read the curriculum, I actually was despite my criticisms of the College Board, I was actually a little surprised with how comprehensive it was. My only, I guess, like, kind of constructive criticism is that I do think that there needs to be more room given to talk about black history before slavery. Of course, obviously, yes, there's a great urgency to talk about slavery in America, race in America. I mean, look, our podcast, a huge chunk of it is we talk about this shit. So obviously I care, Peter cares, we care. But I do think that when in terms of constructing a curriculum on African American studies, I do think that there needs to be more weight than is already given for the black history before slavery, because I find it, one, inaccurate, and two, deeply problematic that black history is always framed starting from when Europeans arrived in Africa and started enslaving African people, because that's just not accurate. Africa has hundreds, thousands of years of history before slavery that's still part of black history. It's still part of African-American history. So that would be my pushback, but that's not Ron DeSuckass's, De Sanctimonious's,
Ron DeSuckass actually is probably the best one. Trump should use that one instead.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, like, on the one hand, and yeah, no, I agree. First of all, I agree. I've often, like, the college board, like the AP curriculum, as someone who took AP Euro and AP US and, I really didn't like it. I don't know. AP Euro was whatever. But, like, it's, like, yes, this is very a Eurocentric view of history. There's an AP World History, but, like, it's the history of the entire world. Yeah, there should be, like, an AP African History. There should be an AP Latin American History as well.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't just be, like, black people siloed off in the United States like that. Like, the history involves Latin America and the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And so
yep.
there is mm-hmm. automatically an ideological tinge just to siloing off African American history, though I'm sure I haven't taken a deep look at the curriculum. I imagine I can guess most of what's in it and probably the things that I wish were in it. But I'm sure that it's fine, and I'm sure it's a lot of, like, it's useful to actually take the time to learn some of this stuff, because mm-hmm. most non-black Americans' conception of black history is like slavery, water fountains, lynchings, Martin Luther King, and then I guess maybe NWA.
Actually, Peter, I actually think you're being charitable, because I'm going to be honest, now that in my teaching experience, and this is... It actually got me a little more jaded, because I think wrongly assumed people knew more. Like, I've reached a point where I assume most non-black Americans don't know anything about black American history, period. That's, like, I think, like, the furthest extent that, like, somebody would know. And it's not to, like, belittle people, but it's just, it's not really to belittle people. It's more of just a reflection of how shitty education and media is in America, right? Because if you look at the public education the way it is now, and the media that most Americans consume, regardless of race and ethnicity, what they're exposed to about black culture and history is complete shit. It's either nothing or bullshit. When it comes to, like, black culture, they're exposed to, frankly, the most idiotic versions of pop culture through, like, with black people on it. Like, you know, like, there are people who, I hate to say it, like, when they watch Love and Hip Hop, they think it's a documentary rather than like a stupid reality TV show. Like, that's where we're at. Like, there are people who watch trashy bullshit
or the white suburban teenagers who, yes, don't know any black historical figures, but know every shitty mumble rapper and which one got killed last week, and that they know all about that, but they can't listen to any music that I've literally heard them say, like, even Kendrick Lamar makes them think, and that's why they don't like him.
Yeah.
So you're right, Adam. That is being a little generous, but that is what's concerning, because the fight over American historiography is, like, very, very tortured. Like, the civil, like, it's important to understand that, like, we've gotten somewhere, at least in the, like, the broader academic consensus about, like, what the Civil War was, but that really was just, like, 20 years ago, and which, like, what Reconstruction actually was. Like, it was the broad historical consensus, really, at the very least, into the 60s and 70s, and then, like, you know, that wasn't, like, I can't remember the name of it, but, like, basically that the Civil War wasn't about slavery. It was a tragic disagreement between, you know, two respectable ruling classes and, you know, the War of Northern Aggression and all the Lost Cause stuff. And Reconstruction was just, it was so sad that we had to do this. And, like, you know, honestly, you know, freedom was, like, not even that great for the slaves. Like, many of them wished they were still enslaved because...
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like that. Like that was that was what was taught in schools and universities. So
yeah,
this is
My mom, my late mother, she was a public school teacher, and what you're saying, Peter, reminded me of what she said to me, because I remember, because she was born in 1953, and she passed away last year in 2022. So when she was in school, it was like the, my mom graduated high school in 71. So for basically, my mom was in grade school for much of the 1960s. And I remember her telling me that, there were white teachers who said that, what you said, that basically, that slaves were happy under slavery. And one thing my mom, her rebuttal to that was, okay, if slaves were happy under slavery, how come so many slaves ran away? You know, and that was and that's not very long ago, really, because again, that's like, I mean, you know, my mother's gone, but you know, she's just one generation from me.
Yeah.
And that's what was part of the, again, the kind of mainstream K-12 consensus in terms of how slavery was taught, that you know, slaves were happy, they were fed, you know, they were comfortable under slavery, like that. That's what was being taught. And I remember a story I'll share about my mom. One thing she told me was, I think when she was in grade school, I think she's, what was it, middle school or high school or something, she started like a Black History club or class on campus, and it was part of, like, you know, this civil rights protest. And one thing she told me, she said there were a lot of white kids who wanted to who joined it, because it was like, even they knew that, because I think at the time, again, this is a time of, my mom grew up during the time of, like, the civil rights movement to the Black Power era. So that was in the air. And so there are white students who were, you know, of her generation, who wanted to learn more. And actually, I'm glad I brought that up, because there was a video of, I think it was on TikTok or Instagram or something, where there's, like, this white girl in Florida who said that she wanted to take it, you know. Yeah. I think it's because, particularly with Generation Z, because now that I'm teaching at a high school, my students are Generation Z, and I do think, I think there is a different level of consciousness with white Generation Z kids. I would say even more so than white millennials, frankly. That like, I think because of,
Well, I think Gen Z, they know that, like, white Gen Z types, they know that, like, their time at the top is limited. So they better So they're either going to go full Nazi or they're going to actually take time to learn how to come correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think that a lot of people would want to take the course. And also, like, I mean, I hate being that kind of like, oh, banned book week in America or whatever. But like, also, you fucking idiots, like, the worst thing you can do if you're trying to get kids to not learn something is to ban it and make it seem dangerous. Now you're gonna make taking AP classes like subversive. They're gonna have guerrilla teachers teaching AP African American history on the down low. They're gonna have to like fucking transport kids across state lines to take the AP test. Like, I on some level, like, you're almost like good, because, you know, yeah, I'm sure that like there's still a whole lot of the actual radical history of Black America, especially in terms of like class struggle, that's getting left out. But even then, like, just to like picking it, like, because it's important. And I think the Virginia governor is now doing a review. Another one of these dipshit, petty fascists or whatever. But like, you're not really gonna fight the College Board and win. They control like education in America, and like, you know, all the like, that is not like fighting the College Board. They can make your life miserable, and like, it just makes you look like you're against education.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, but because Ron the suck ass, like, he really, really wants to be president. So he's doing a bunch of shit that like gets him, makes a name for himself. But like, I don't know. It's already part, like it already exists. They're not stopping it, though. They did like buckle a little bit to like, I think they took out Kimberly Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yeah.
Added a thing about Black conservatism. So cool. They get to find out who Thomas Sewell is. Great. But yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up. I wanted to bring that up because, yeah. So the argument from Ron DeSuckass and like the Florida state government was that what their issue that they point out specifically was the inclusion of queer theory, intersectionality, Black Lives Matter, Black feminism, and reparations. So that was why they had an issue with specifically Kimberly Crenshaw, who came up with the theory of intersectionality. And then Ta-Nehisi Coates, who, reparations has long been part of Black American intellectual tradition, but he,
he brought it back into the discourse.
Yeah, by him writing about it in The Atlantic, I think elevated the argument to new heights, basically, just because of his position at The Atlantic and the world that, you know, magazines like The Atlantic have
unfortunately
yeah, so
or did, I mean, he was the last time anyone read The Atlantic and took it seriously, but leaving that aside,
so the College Board, what they said is that they revised their course before the Florida ban, so that's their argument, that's what they said.
Okay.
They included Black conservatism, and they took out things that I think could come across as more political. But what I my rebuttal to that is, things like reparations, Black Lives Matter, that's part of Black American history. It just is. So is Black feminism. So is queer theory. Like, that's part of African American studies. Now, whether one, you know, agrees with elements of those theories, and you know, even in some like left wing leftist circles, like there's even, you know, there's kind of like, I wouldn't say internal disagreements, but like, you know, there are debates about like, you know, how intersectionality is framed, and even when it comes to feminism itself, like to the extent that like how much American feminism is shaped by white women. So mm-hmm. there's internal back and forth, right? But putting that aside in terms of like where, you know, one's like perspective is on that, the actual content of Black feminism, queer theory, that's part of African American studies and tradition. It just is. And yeah, Black conservatism is. I don't think.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to learn about the shitty people in history too. Sure, there's an argument like in a history course that like, yeah, you don't want to go too much into the current day, but that's really not. That's not the disagreement. The problem is, of course, that like conservatives are little whiners, and they know that the truth about America is divisive. Like, this is what I don't understand. And, you know, I think this is it's a statement from like the University of Florida faculty that was just like, we don't actually know what it is you're objecting to. And I think on the one hand, like, these kinds of bills are intentionally vague because none of these people actually know what it is they're upset about. They're just like, fucking Alec or the Heritage Foundation wrote these stupid ass fucking bills, and so they have to pass them so that they get their campaigns funded, because that's how laws get written through think tanks, and then they just, you know, law pressure the you know, mostly Republicans, like, that those think tanks put in office, that they have to pass this shit. But like, it's not, yeah, they don't actually know what it is that they can say is divisive, because it's like, well, I don't know, I think slavery was pretty divisive, I think de jure segregation was pretty divisive, I think redlining was pretty divisive. Like, how can, I don't understand. I mean, yes, obviously they just don't want people to know the truth of American history. And it's very frustrating because on the one hand, like, you know, you can only suppress the truth so much. On the other hand, especially because like Americans don't pay attention in history class, like they, like, it's just a whole new layer of bullshit that you have to cut through. And it makes, you know, us over here sound even crazier because we don't even know what the new lies are. Like, you have to keep up on whatever the new bullshit is, because they are rewriting history. Because I guess they're convinced they're the winners, and winners write the history books. So they don't want people to think Black people have their own history. I mean, this is like very, very obvious. It's not even like the new version of, you know, the same old, I don't even call it epistemological terrorism. It's literally like the same people, the same institutions, and it's the exact same thing. It's not like the 21st century version of it. It's the same people doing the exact same thing, which is denying Blackness as a historical subjectivity, denying that Black people have history. They don't want us to think that way. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say it blows my mind that they're doing it, but it is clarifying it's like, because with Trump, and I guess we can use this as a transition, like, Trump is so scattershot and there's no actual ideology outside of him. It is almost a little reassuring just to see Republicans go back to the good old fashioned, like, just pure racism that is their bread and butter, because, like, you know, it's nice to know that that's still what that party is about.
Yeah, I'll give my final thoughts on this. So I think in terms of why this is happening, apart from it being part of a larger right-wing culture war that's going on in America, in terms of like why this specific ban has happened in Florida, beyond just like what Ron DeSantis is saying, I think there are two reasons why it's happening, but they're interrelated with each other. The first reason is, I think on a more, I guess you could say, like, for lack of a better word, I guess, like, micro level, or more, like, on the ground level, and just in general in society, discussing race and slavery makes people uncomfortable. It's specifically white people. White Americans, and I would actually also include other, like, white people of other ethnic groups, because you mentioned Latin America, Peter. I mean, I would even include white Latinos in this, because slavery happened in Latin America too, and, you know, from the perspective of a lot of, you know, black and indigenous Latinos, they're dealing with the same thing that black Americans are having to deal with in terms of discussing race and the dealing with the hypersensitivity of white people in our specific, you know, countries of origin, right? So, and I think the response of, I would say, white people, regardless of their ethnic background, right? That's what I want to say. Yeah, white people in general, regardless of their specific ethnic background, if their ancestors were basically settlers in the Americas, North America, Central Caribbean, South America, bringing up the issue of slavery and race makes them, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, uncomfortable. Because I think most, if not all, white people know that their ancestors did some fucked up shit. I think they know that. And I think for black folks, we have to talk to white people and just assume that they know that their ancestors did some fucked up shit. And if you look at the faculty in most schools across the country, and particularly in schools that are predominantly black and brown, most of the faculty are white, and oftentimes a lot of the admin are white. And I've been in meetings with teachers when it comes to, you know, designing ethnic studies and other types of meetings, and this issue's come up, and I'm not going to say any names of the teachers, but I've heard from teachers, you know, say this to me directly, that a lot of white teachers in the classroom, they don't like talking about race. And rather than confronting the issue of race head on, especially if their student population is mostly students of color, rather than them talk about the issue head on to educate the students about the reality of the world that they're living in, their solution is just to brush it under the rug and just pretend and say it's not an issue and it's not serious. And if it does get brought up, then you just try to, like, water it down and sanitize it as much as possible, because the actual reality of the pain of slavery itself, slavery in the Americas, the transatlantic slave trade specifically, because the other response is like, well, slavery happened anywhere, everywhere, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, but the transatlantic slave trade
was a whole lot of excuse making.
Yeah, the transatlantic slave trade was a level of brutality that other forms of slavery
it had not existed. It was like a qualitatively different form of cruelty in human history that hadn't existed at that scale before.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And also, the transatlantic slave trade basically built the modern world that we live in terms of, like, modern capitalism. Was a creation of the transatlantic slave trade. And that's all, like, the fucking, like, the other kind of leftists who, you know, are, like, the kind of, like, class reductionist types and don't think, like, but look, listen, if you're like any kind of leftist who, like, I'm more anti-capitalist than thou, if you're going to belittle the role that slavery had in creating capitalism, you are full of shit. Like, that's what I think, and especially as a black American, knowing both sides of my family are enslaved people, that actually does motivate my leftism, because I look at capitalism and, like, wow, this shitty system was built in the blood of my ancestors. I have a grudge against that, you know. It motivates me politically to be like, yeah, this system is shit, it sucks, it's terrible, I want something different for not just for my community but for everybody. So I think, like, okay, so that's the first reason that when you bring up the issue of race and slavery in America, it makes a lot of white people uncomfortable. And when they're the ones who control the newsrooms and control the education system, their response typically is to not talk about it, or when it's talked about, brush it under the rug, because it makes them uncomfortable, because they have to look at themselves and be like, holy shit, I'm a white person and I'm teaching some really fucked up shit. It makes them feel guilty, you know, and it makes sense, but it's also like, look, if you stand for justice, you have to be able to deal with that guilt and just tackle
the issue. Well, the thing is that liberals are aware of this, and they think that, like, because they, like, feel the guilt and they're, like, upfront about it, and that makes them superior and that makes them off the hook or whatever. But the thing about reactionaries, conservatives or whatever, is they're just like, well, fuck that. We're just not going to talk about it because it makes me feel bad. And I love living in the greatest country in the world. So if there's any part of it that makes me feel bad, we're just not going to talk about it. We're going to pretend it doesn't exist.
And that actually... That, and what you just said there ties into the other reason I want to bring up, is that when it comes to the right, the reactionaries, they want to push a narrative of America, that their narrative of America itself is that America is a free country, land of opportunity, and has always been a great country. It's always been the shining city on a hill. Like, conservatives, far right, anyone on the right, the reactionaries, their narrative of America is that America is the greatest country on earth, is God's greatest country, it's a shining city on a hill. And when they teach history, they teach it from that perspective, that America is a great country, it's always been a great country, and that it's an exceptional country. Their narrative is American exceptionalism, that America is the greatest country on earth, and all other countries are jealous of America, and the reason why people hate America, they hate us for our freedoms. Our freedom to fucking buy fast food and eat a bunch of shitty food and get sick when you're 65. Like, that's the freedom that they enjoy. The freedom to buy, like, you know, the next latest Ford F-250 or F-350, the next gas-guzzling truck that creates potholes on the fucking ground because the thing is so damn big and guzzles a bunch of gas and puts a bunch of fucking carbon emissions in the air and just makes climate change even worse. Like, that's the freedom that they exalt. They exalt that fucking freedom. And also the freedom to bomb countries around the world with impunity. That we can just, that country was just looking at me funny and was just like, you know, fuck that. Yeah. I got to teach them a lesson. I'm going to teach them some democracy. It's going to be through the barrel of a gun. That's the freedom that these reactionary motherfuckers exalt. And so that's a narrative that they're going to teach in schools. So, but the thing is that when you teach the history of slavery and the genocide of Native Americans,
it's a bit of a boner killer.
It blows the whole narrative apart, because you can't tell the world that America is the greatest thing since sliced bread, that we're the greatest country on earth, and then be like, oh yeah, well, we also had slavery. Like, you can't walk around and be like, I'm the greatest fucking country on earth, and every other country has to suck my dick. And it's like, well, you had slavery, and it's like, well, you know what, yeah, well, you did too, so shut up. Like, that's the fucking narrative that these assholes on the right want to put forth. And I think a major part of the backlash is the George Floyd protests, not even the protests, the video of George Floyd being murdered shown around the world, I think had a huge impact, because it was like a major PR blow to America. Like, the whole world saw that fucking video. It wasn't just like white liberals and shit, like in coastal America.
Yeah, man, like in Iran, in China, yeah, Russia, and all the freedom hating enemy countries. Can you think about how bad, like, they don't like it because it makes us look bad.
Yeah, and so I think that's a major, those two reasons that are separate reasons but they're interconnected, I think that's the reason behind the banning of AP African American Studies, because they want to put forth this narrative that America is the greatest country on earth and to also protect the feelings of white people in America. I think those are the main reasons for the ban, beyond just like whatever they want to like hem and haw and complain about. Oh, there's like queer theory, intersectionality. Like most of these assholes don't know what the fuck critical race theory is. They've never read. I don't even think they've read like Ta-Nehisi Coates like that deep.
No, he's not even critical race theory is like a law school thing.
It is,
like,
yeah.
Like, if you're, unless they're fucking teaching law school shit in high school, they're not gonna fucking learn critical race theory. That's why, yeah. That's why the whole thing's so stupid, and that's why, which is part of why they do it, because they don't have to actually like be like, this is the things you're not allowed to teach. It's just to create a culture of fear. I still think that the whole thing's stupid, and after the election, Rhonda Suckass will end up buckling, because it's just fucking stupid, and it's gonna, like, piss off, because those Gusanos or whatever in Miami, like, because Ron DeSantis, like, threatened to, like, ban all AP classes, and if he does some dumb shit like that, like, he's gonna be out, because, like, immigrant parents, you don't want to fuck with that, with, like, education, okay?
Right, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, absolutely insane, and so, you know, but it still is just, like, it's tying everyone up with this fucking bullshit. So, anyway, moving from the worst state in the country to the other worst state in the country. We got like 15 minutes left, but should probably talk about, my home state, 3 hours. It's a 3-hour drive from Columbus, East Palestine, Ohio.
Yeah, there is that, the train derailment.
Yes. East Palestine. Yes. Outside of Youngstown. So in the Rust Belt, like right by the Ohio Pennsylvania border, which is where Youngstown is, there was a train derailment and this was a few weeks ago, and it contained like 5 cars full of hazardous chemicals. I think most people know the basics of that. I remember reading something, just like a brief news item, because in my Google News feed, like, occasionally the truth gets through before it had sort of snowballed into like an actual hot political hot button issue that is now. But yes, so they, you know, this is, it's important to remember that this happened just a few weeks after Amtrak Joe, used Congress to break the railroad worker strike when all they're asking for is fucking paid time off, and then, oh wow, a train, like, this is exactly the kind of thing that happens when you try to like play fast and loose with like worker safety in critical industries. And apparently the only way to dispose of a train full of hazardous chemicals is literally to burn it and release it into the air. But the runoff from a lot of that went into the Ohio River. And I know probably you coastal types don't really understand Midwest geography, but the Ohio River feeds directly into the Mississippi River. It's a pretty major river. It's responsible for Cincinnati's drinking water, at least. There is untold, like, well, as far as we know, like 44,000 fish have died in the Ohio River. And there is untold amount of like birth defects and anything else that's going to come across this, you know, which is why I will say that, like, I think it's because it happened. Well, I mean, aside from the fact that a place called East Palestine, of all places, is a little too on the nose for Hellworld's back, baby. But because it was a place with mostly white people, because let's be clear, if this was like in Mississippi, or if this had happened in a place where like black people were being affected, like fucking Fox News wouldn't be all over this shit. But the right picked up on it because, you know, Biden was just being, I actually do love it because I love being it being confirmed that he really just doesn't give a fuck about any of us. He sent fucking Pete in there to be like, well, actually, guys, train derailments have, there's 1,000 of them every year. So what's everyone upset about?
Fucking like Mayo Pete. Yeah, yes. Actually, one thing I think I want just like to just two quick little, I guess, little factoids. Like one of the chemicals that the train was carrying was vinyl chloride. So it's basically a key ingredient in PVC. So like, you know, hard plastic that's, you know, used a lot in construction and healthcare. And according to NPR, it says inhalation of vinyl chloride can cause respiratory symptoms like shortness of breath, along with neurological symptoms like headaches and dizziness. Chronic exposure to high levels of vinyl chloride has been associated with liver damage and cancer. That's just among one of like the, I think somewhere like half dozen to a dozen types of hazardous chemicals that were on the train. And yeah, the company that runs the train is Norfolk Southern. And yeah, East Palestine is like about 4,800 people. Yeah, it was 150 rail cars that were, so it said like most of the cars were not carrying hazardous material, but like there is, I guess, some that had incredibly fucking dangerous, like vinyl chloride, incredibly fucking dangerous hazardous chemicals. And it seemed like the way it was being reported from officials was that they initially were trying to downplay the severity, but because it got picked up on social media and the pictures of it, that's when the news media started taking it seriously. But I'm glad you mentioned that about the Ohio River, Peter, because I think like especially like coming from the perspective of, you know, obviously living on the coast, but specifically California, because we've had like, you know, dealing with drought and wildfires. One thing that just living through that is how important like, you know, geography and infrastructure actually are, because, you know, things that like I think people often take for granted how important like river sources are, water sources, and any disruption to that can spell just immense catastrophe for people. So yeah, having these hazardous chemicals in the Ohio River, that's a this, I mean, I could imagine, yeah, because I have a map. I could look at a map like, okay, Ohio River, Mississippi. Yeah, because once you said Mississippi River in Ohio, it's like, oh shit, yeah, because a lot of people, if they live, that's a major water source. And if you put hazardous fucking chemicals, it like that's like, I mean, basically, I guess the equivalent would be in California with the Colorado River Basin. Where I live in Northern California, we don't get our water from there. We get it from the Sierra Nevada, and then the snow melt, it melts, and then we get it there. Where I live is on the edge of the Bay Area, the Delta. So, but if you go to Southern California, most of the drought is happening there because the Colorado River Basin is literally drying up, right? So it's not, you know, an issue of hazardous chemicals, but it's drying up. And that's going to suck for people who live in L.A., not just L.A., but Southern Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, and even parts of Mexico. So then apply it to the Ohio River. Yeah, that's going to spell immense danger for people in Ohio. And I imagine like probably Pennsylvania, Kentucky, right? Like,
I think I don't know all the specifics, but like the Ohio River is a pretty major river. And like I was looking at it and like, you know, I trust like the water. I mean, I don't know, because it's the kind of thing where it's like they don't want people to panic, which I understand. That's part of managing disasters. That's also why you don't try to not have as many fucking disasters. But also, like, I don't know if there really is a strategy. I was reading that they can just, like, shut down the intake valves in Cincinnati. Because actually this would not be the first time like a bunch of hazardous chemicals have ended up in the Ohio River. They're shutting down like a gas plant, and then a whole bunch of petroleum ended up in the Ohio River. And then I think there is like a mine spill from West Virginia. So, you know, like, yeah, I mean, like, that area, like, that is the Rust Belt. Like, these are places that are really just, like, sacrifice zones for capitalism. Like, this, yeah. this is, mm-hmm. and, you know, credit to the man for going there while fucking Amtrak Joe is off in Kiev, you know, trying to do whatever, you know, furnishing that bullshit war. You know, Trump shows up and he does not do the thing. Shout out to the Trillbillies for coining the term the devil's milkshake. But it is where, like, dipshit politicians show up and they make a show of drinking the contaminated water. Trump did not do that, but he knew he, like, what made Trump dangerous, and everyone forgets, is that he's able to speak to the Rust Belt in a way that was just like,
yeah,
at the very least, just be like, look, guys, I don't really give a fuck about you, but I know they don't give a fuck about you. Yeah. So mm-hmm. at least I am upfront about it, and, like, I'm more entertaining. And that's the thing where it's like,
ugh, yeah.
He's one. I mean, first of all, he's 100% going to pants Ron to suck ass in the primary. Like, right? Like, Ron DeSantis, like, fucking went to, like, Yale Law School or something. He's one of those fucking dipshits. He doesn't, you know. But the thing is that, like, as long, like, we're still in hell world. I think there is a time, like, in a lot of 2022, I was like, is this, am I just, like, still insane, but, like, everyone else is just trying to pretend like the world is fine again because they don't want to be depressed and it's just my fault for being depressed. But, like, the world still is where it was in 2021. Nothing's gotten better. And as long as we're in hell world, like, Biden can't be president of hell world. There's only one president of hell world, and it's Donnie T. So if more shit like this keeps happening and all they can do is lean heavier on this stupid Ukraine war that's really not very popular, then, like, yeah, it's... I really can't believe that they're just, like, train derailments happen all the time. Why don't you... Like, are you people the fucking government or what?
Yeah,
like,
and another thing that I think is important to mention is the brakes on that train were from the Civil War era, the fucking yeah. Civil War era. So it's like we're still using brake systems on trains that are part of that are a crucial part of the nation's infrastructure to get crucial materials from one place to another. And that system still relies on brakes from the fucking Civil War. And to me, I think that what happened in East Palestine, Ohio, I think to me proves that we need to nationalize the railway system. Like, we need to nationalize certain crucial industries that are vital to the functioning of a country. So things yeah. like the railway system has to be fucking nationalized.
The commanding heights of the economy, as someone said.
Yeah, and so, like, having somebody like Pete Buttigieg just be like, you know, it's like, what? Like, you know, he just, and then Joe Biden's like, well, what? That's a train? Oh, well, let's not buckle, like, oh, shit. You know, like, yeah. It's just, like, these are the people who are running America, and then, you know, Kamala Harris, she's like, well, you know, I used to smoke pot with Snoop Dogg, and, yeah, that's about it. Like, it's, oh, okay, so, great, I have so much confidence in the American government and the Democratic Party. And it was funny, in 2020, the Democrats were like, we need to get Joe Biden because the Cheeto in the White House, he is just gonna bring Armageddon. It's like, okay, we got President Cheeto out of the White House, and he's not even on Twitter anymore. So what's Dark Brandon doing? I mean, this is his response.
He's fighter jets to Ukraine, baby. Let's go all in on that dumb shit. Why, you know, that's like the stupidest thing about all of it, and I gotta go like literally right now, but I just want to say the stupidest thing about all of it is that like the war is not even a functioning distraction, a little bit for the libs, but like it's not even working. Like I remember being in like this restaurant in Lewiston, Maine, which like was weirdly Trumpy, and I remember just I was in like the bar, and they had Fox News on, and then they started talking about Ukraine, and it went on for like 5 minutes, and they just changed the channel because no one wants to talk about it. No one cares really about it because we don't really care about Europe, and a little bit to our credit. But this is if this is the mindset Joe has, and it's like, yeah, okay, you tried your infrastructure bill and the Democrats outsmarted themselves. Oh, and let fucking Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema hold the whole thing hostage when they had control. So you know what? This is the idiocy involved, and you guys keep playing like this, you're gonna leave it wide open for the Cheeto to come back. So this is y'all's government. So on that note, let's sign out.
yeah. So anyway, I think that's a great way to sign out. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Like I said, if you want to support our podcast, Independent Black Media, patreon.com/realsankarahours, $5 a month gets you bonus episodes. So this is basically what we talked about: AP African American Studies and the train derailment in Ohio. We're still living in hell world, but you know what? Podcasts like us, we're putting up the fight. So anyway, if you want to support the struggle, become a patron to our podcast. So anyway, keep the faith.
Stay dangerous, y'all.
Peace out.
All right, see you.